Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori Amin, will interview published authors to chat about their work, journey to getting published, and their book recommendations. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us.
Hello, welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. Today I have a great author named Ronnie Lauren. But before we get to it, I want to share a bit about the What to Read Next podcast Patreon community. So I started this community about a year ago as a way to connect with fellow listeners and romance readers. I wanted to create a book club where we read romance novels and create recommendations. The group has evolved and we now meet twice a month to share recommendations, chat with authors, and catch up, as well as read a book. So we trade books between, we read 1 month a traditionally published book, which might be backlist, and the other month we read indie books who might be backlist or might be available on Kindle Unlimited. So it's a fun way to discover new authors and new ways and new books to recommend. As a fun perk, each week I curate a romance recommendation list based on trope, genre, what's anticipated, what you should borrow from your library or Kindle Limited, or what audiobooks are up and coming that you should check out. I love drafting these curated lists as a way to discover new-to-me authors and new-to-me books that I need to add to my never-ending TBR. The Patreon community is ideal for fellow romance readers who are looking to figure out what their next great read is. It is a welcoming community. We have awesome members. We do have an Instagram chat, so if you're interested in joining that Instagram chat, we can actually add you to it. So you get to meet with them and chat with them and share your recommendations and share like what you're currently reading, or as a way to be like, you know, just vent about it. So it's a really fun place. It's a great place to meet new friends or fellow readers. If you're interested in joining the Patreon community, you can go on watchmenextblog.com/patreon or click the link in the show notes. The cost is $5 a month, and sometimes some months I actually give you some fun perks like giveaways, like some free gifts, and some other fun stuff. So the cost is definitely, I do add new perks, try to add new perks every month to make the cost useful. Thank you so much for listening. Now let's go to the regular schedule interview with author Ronnie Lauren. Ronnie just published her latest, Yes and I Love You, which is about the world of improv, social anxiety, and it's just like such a delicious romance. I really love chatting with Ronnie about improv and anxiety and how to go about it. So now let's go to interview. Hi, Ronnie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I write all kinds of different romance. I'm writing contemporary romance most recently, and that's what my most recent book is, but I started in erotic romance. So I have a little bit of everything in the romance world, but other than that, I'm a mom and former therapist. So I've kind of journeyed through this through a couple of different paths, but I've eventually landed where I needed to be.
I love this. So what was your romance journey look like? When did you start reading romance? If you were a romance reader or you start writing romance?
I really wasn't a romance reader growing up. At least I didn't know I was. So like, I remember reading Flowers in the Attic and thinking like it was super scandalous. And, you know, I loved like the forbidden romance aspect of it, but I didn't realize that's what I liked about it. You know, I grew up in the 80s, so I read Babysitter's Club and lots of horror. I was a horror reader, so you know, the teen horror, R.L. Stine and all of that, and then moved on to like Stephen King. Then I was always like obsessed with shows like Dawson's Creek and, you know, Felicity and Friends and all those romance shows. So I didn't think I realized I was a romance reader and that there were books out there that would have fed that. Mm-hmm. And then when I had my son, I stayed home from work. And that's kind of when I discovered, oh yeah, like there's this whole genre out there and it's great and always has happy endings and wow. So I kind of deep dove into it and then I'm started, you know, getting ideas to write it. And I had wanted to be a writer before, but you know, when I was a teen, but I hadn't really considered, you know, the romance world until then, so.
I love this. Yeah, I grew up reading Babysitter's Club, R.L. Stine, Fear Street, Goosebumps, you know, Sweet Valley High. Like, so I was a late romance reader too. Like, it didn't dawn on me that I was like, I like the love stories, but I didn't realize there was like a genre that had that, you know.
I know. We were missing the whole thing. We were missing out.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like, it's a whole new world. I think when I discovered romance, I was like, oh my God, there's so many books. Awesome. So what was the moment, you mentioned a little bit, you always want to be a writer. What was the moment that you decided, you're like, I'm going to do this. Like, I'm going to be a writer. I'm going to be an author.
Well, I wrote my first book when I was like 14 or 15. I was obsessed with New Kids on the Block. So I'm aging myself there. And I wrote what now I know is fan fiction, but fan fiction wasn't really like a label then. So I didn't know I was doing that. So I wrote like a, you know, 200 page romance novel that I didn't realize was a romance novel, with, you know, fan fiction stuff to New Kids. So I still have that book. It is buried in a box and no one will ever see it. But that was when I decided like, yeah, I love writing. I want to be a writer. And then you know how life happens. So you go to college and it's like, yeah, I probably need to do something that will actually make me money. So then I ended up going with my other love, which was, I got a degree in psychology and social work. I have a master's in social work and did that for years. But I always continued to be a reader. I always just had story ideas sort of in the back of my head. And like I said, when I did ended up staying home with my son, I had that, like, I'm so tired all the time, but I want to do something just for me. And so I just kind of started tinkering and writing stories. And yeah, after that, it was, you know, kind of the start of the new career.
I love this. And so I got a question of New Kids on the Block. So who is your go-to?
Oh, I was definitely a Joe girl.
Okay. So. I was Jordan. I was Jordan. So
yeah. Jordan was second. So yeah, Jordan, in the book I wrote, Joe and Jordan, there's a love triangle. So, you know.
Oh my.
Right.
I love the angstiness of, you know, just, it's probably like a 14-year-old angstiness of like, you know, like, oh my gosh, this needs to happen. You
know? Oh yeah. Very, very angsty. So, but like I said, I've kept it, but no one will ever see it.
It's all good. It's all good. So what was your journey to publication?
So I wrote the book that got published first is called Crash Into You. That was the third book I wrote when I started writing again. When I stayed home. So the second book eventually that I had written got published afterward, which was Wanderlust. But I wrote one that will never see the light of day and, you know, just decided, okay, how do I do this? You know, I love to write, but how do I get better at this? So I joined my local, you know, RWA group and I started reading all the books I could read about how to write. And, you know, I'm kind of one of those people who, when I like something, I want to learn all the things about it. So stacks and stacks of books and, you know, applying to, or different classes and all of these things. And then finally just started querying agents. And so it takes a while. So if anybody's out there wanting to write, just know that it's probably not going to be your first book that gets the book deal. But if you keep going, you know, you get better and better each time.
I love this. Yeah. I feel like that's, I'm writing. And so I feel like the first book is just like, it's not going to see the light of day, but you're supposed to suck. And it's okay. That's the whole process. You do it. The more you do it, the better you get, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. You learn so much in those first books and getting critique partners and people to tell you, you know, that will tell you honestly, like, oh, this is not so great, but you could work on this is really invaluable. And I teach classes on how to write romance now. So I love like working with new writers and seeing that like it's their first book and they're so excited. And like, it's on that start of the journey. It's so much fun.
I love this so much. So let's talk about writing the pandemic. How's that going? You know,
yeah.
Is it going? Is it happening?
It's happening because I have deadlines. So it's happening, but it's challenging. You know, it's, I won't say I've been on time on all of my deadlines lately, but yeah, I think it's hard to, you know, for all of us to sort of block out what's going on in the world in order to focus on, you know, whatever we have to do, but especially writing happy, upbeat stories, you know, it can be a little challenging to channel that sometimes. And if you have kids at home, virtual learning and all those other things happening, but I do kind of keep a regular schedule. So that has, you know, kept me somewhat sane that, you know, I have work hours and I sit down and I work on writing and that kind of stability thing of keeping a schedule. I'm a girl with like three planners. Like I like all the paper planner stuff. So like, if I keep myself structured, that's kind of what's been getting me through. And then, you know, all that self-care stuff too. So the reading and, you know, making sure to have downtime and all of that has helped.
Yeah, I think it's just like, I think I remember the beginning, and it was like a weird time because I moved to and I was unemployed at the beginning of the pandemic. And so I remember being like, oh, I'm going to have all these hobbies. I'm going to do all these creative projects. And then I was so anxious and so stressful that it was like nothing was working out. Like it was like, I needed like self-care, like, you know, like a whole set of things and just like admitting like, you know, that we're going through unprecedented times. And so is we have to be gentle with ourselves. It's not all going to get done, you know, at the right time.
Yeah, I agree. I think I had to lean back on my old therapy days of like, what would I tell, you know, a client who was coming in and like, everybody's anxious, everybody's depressed. And, you know, it's normal. It's not a freakish thing to be that way, especially with all of this. And so it's okay to binge watch TV sometimes. And it's okay to read three romance novels in a row if that's all you can really manage to, you know, focus on that day or whatever. So yeah, it's been lots of being forgiving of ourselves.
Yeah, forgive yourself and just be gentle, you know, like it's like the best you can do. Yeah. Like some days are easy, some days are hard, and it's just like you just have to trudge along the process.
Yes, absolutely.
So let's talk about Yes and I Love You. So what was the source of inspiration?
Well, I like learning about things. I'm, you know, a nerd that way. And I've always been really curious about improv because it's literally the most terrifying thing I can imagine doing because I'm super shy. I'm very, very introverted. So the thought of like getting up without a plan is like my personal nightmare, but that makes it really, you know, interesting to me of like how people do that and how that works. So I decided I wanted to kind of explore that and how I explore things as I end up writing a book about it. But, so for my heroine, she has social anxiety. She is diagnosed with Tourette's. So she's very self-conscious about what people, you know, think of her and what they think of her tics and if she's going to, you know, say the wrong thing or be thought of the wrong way. And so she has all of, you know, this stuff inside her, all these thoughts and things, but she doesn't really talk to anybody. She's very isolated. And so I thought, you know, a person like that, the most terrifying thing for them would be having to do improv. So of course her hero is going to be an improv actor. So that's kind of where it started, was the idea of someone with social anxiety having to do the most terrifying thing and having that hero, you know, be able to kind of usher her through that. So, and I have some personal experience with Tourette's and stuff. My son has a tic disorder. So I wanted to represent that in a book. I thought I hadn't seen that in a book, at least not in a romance. And so I wanted to put that in there because, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are, you know, dealing with that. So.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love improv. Like I've taken classes. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons why I moved to Chicago, I think subconscious is like, I can take a class in Second City, you know? I live in New York, so I took classes over there and then I just moved. And it's like, I love the fact that improv teaches you life skills. Like it's a lot of games. Like I think people expect to know the process, but if you take the class, like in a lot of Jasper, like what he does, it's like, it's a lot of like playfulness. It's a lot of yes, and, you know, right. Yeah, you know, like, and trust your instinct and like, everything will be fine the way it comes up, you know?
Yeah, no, I love the spirit of it. So I wish I had the guts to do it, but yeah, that whole like agreement and trusting your partners, you know, to like hold you up if you can't think of the thing or you say something silly that they're going to add on to it. I think it's like a really just warm, like kind of, you know, environment. And so it was really fun to learn a lot about it. I read all kinds of books on it. I probably still will never try it, but
I would tell you, you know what I realized when I took a class is that I am very like, even though I'm a leader in a lot of spaces when it comes to improv, I just like, I am like backseat. I'm like, okay, somebody else would take the lead. Somebody else will figure out like what exactly I'll do. And then I'll just pop up and say what I need to say. Mm-hmm. But it's an interesting dynamic because it shows you like, it gives you an opportunity to figure out who you are as a person and to trust your instincts. Like it, you know, like nothing is wrong and there's no, like you can't just say, no, I don't agree with this. Like that's actually ends the scene. So everything's yes and blah, 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 blah. But it's a lot of like, the classes were a lot of games. I dropped out of the class. I didn't do the performance. So So I'm an improv dropout, but I really enjoy it. And I kind of want to take it again and try to see if I can do a performance, you know? But it's definitely one of those fun activities that I think it teaches you life skills that, you know, if you struggle with anxiety, it definitely gives you, my therapist told me I needed to do it. So that's actually how I ended up taking improv because I struggle with anxiety. It was like one place for me to just get relaxed and understand where I am in this world.
Yeah, that's great. No, one of the books I read, I think it was called Improv Wisdom. I might be getting that wrong, but it wasn't for like how to learn improv. It was basically how to use improv skills for life. And so, yeah, there's a lot of things to take from it that, you know, you can use in your everyday life. And, you know, that's really what the book ended up, you know, using as well for her journey. So, you know, there's a lot to be found in improv, I think.
I love this. And then you set it up in a workaround, like an office space, like, you know, co-working space, WeWork-ish, you know, where there's all these creatives working, you know, which I think it's like unique. Like I haven't seen that. I've seen some romances started to pop up, but I feel like this is like a unique setting to create this universe of experiences. So what was your research like for that?
Well, when I try to set up a series, I wanted to have some sort of, you know, tie in, like, why are they all tied together? And the last series I had done, which was The Ones Who Got Away, they were all tied together by a tragedy. So if anybody's, sorry, there's a car outside, so we'll
That's pause. Okay.
So my previous series, The Ones Who Got Away, had the backstory of they had all been through a high school shooting when, you know, they were teenagers, and then now they were coming back together. So this time I wanted something lighter, and that gave me a little bit more flexibility, you know, with who they were, because if work together, I didn't want them to all have the same job. So that's where the idea of a co-working space came from, because I thought it would be fun to have, you know, heroes and heroines that were all kinds of different things. And so many of us are working independently now and, you know, doing our own thing. And I mean, obviously you're doing a podcast. So my next heroine in book two is a podcaster. So, you know, it's all these fun jobs that I was like, that would be really interesting if I'm going to have to spend, you know, 6 months writing a book, which I'm a slow writer. So that's generally how long it takes me, that I want it to be something fun to research. So the workaround setting, I wish I could have gone visit one of those. Of course, I was writing this during the pandemic, so I haven't been able to. But, you know, the thought of like all that creative energy in one place where somebody's a writer, somebody's a podcaster, somebody's a chef blogger, you know, like that seems like that would be a really fun working environment. So that's where the inspiration came from with this. And it gives me a lot of flexibility of who my characters can be.
I love this. Yeah. I love the fact that it was like, there was like a flexibility. There was like, you know, I've been to those co-working spaces and it's just kind of like fun. There's like a creative energy that happens. Like, even though you're not co-workers, there's like an energy that just flows that you feel like you're doing your work and you'll be creative, you know? And there's like all the flexibility, you know, like you're set your own hours and you figure it out and you're doing great work, you know, so.
And I think a lot of us, at least if you work at home, we miss coworkers. So, you know, it's even if we're not the most extroverted people, you still like to have somebody, you know, to say hi to when you get your coffee sometimes. So I think, you know, the co-working space concept is pretty cool.
Yes. So let's talk about your next book, which is The Podcaster. It's true crime podcaster / horror writer. Yes. So I'm assuming this is like loosely based on inspiration for you, like horror, you know?
Yeah. So Andy is, I love a true crime podcast. So I definitely am a consumer of those. And so she does that for a living, but she also writes horror. So she's really quirky because she writes all the scary stuff, you know, and then does the true crime podcast, but she has like anxiety about all of that stuff because she has a backstory of she's been through criminal trauma in her background. So I wanted to kind of, you know, juxtaposition that of like, she's scared of the world in a lot of ways, but she like dives into horror as her relief. Because I'm that kind of person who I actually get, you know, if I'm anxious, watching a horror movie actually would give me, you know, like would relax me. So, and there's studies out there about that and stuff, but because it's experiencing anxiety in a safe way, if you watch a horror movie or you read a horror book, so you know that you're safe. But anyway, so she was super fun to write. Her hero is going to be her next door neighbor. He's a injured firefighter.
Ooh.
So he's lost part of his limb. So he's, you know, healing from that and kind of the grumpy hero. So I love a grumpy hero sometimes, and it's very different from Jasper and Yes and I Love You, who's the opposite of the grumpy hero. He's the, you know, the fun guy. So for my research for Andy's book, I had to read horror novels and watch horror movies. And so that was a lot of fun too. But she was just a joy to write because she's so quirky and, you know, different.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to her book. I felt like she was like such an interesting character. She's like, she decided, she's like, I'm going to be friends with you, you know, and I'm going to do this. Like, you know, like not in a forceful way, but in a way that I felt like could be intimidating, but it was like, oh, okay, I like you, you know, like, I think she's like an interesting character, and I'm fascinated by the fact that she's a podcaster and a horror writer and how it all intersects and like, how does it relate to her love life, you know?
Thanks. Yeah, she's definitely not the introvert. She's the extrovert that adopts the introvert. So when I have friends like that, my closest friend, you know, I always say she adopted me because she's so extroverted and I'm so introverted. So Andy's definitely was a good foil for Holland in the first book to be that person to be like, we're going to be friends and that's going to be great.
Yes. And walk her through. I'm like, you're not doing video, you're going to do a podcast, you know? So I love this. So let's see, what has been a book you read this past year that you can't stop gushing about, or you're like, oh, this was a good one, you know?
So each year I'm nerdy about reading challenges. So I created a couple years ago one called the Read Wide Challenge, because I try to force myself to read not just in my genre. I want to read from a lot of different places, and that gives me inspiration as a writer and kind of keeps everything fresh. And so that has led me to lots of different books that I normally wouldn't pick up. And so last year, one of my favorites was The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue by So it's the story setup is this girl makes a deal with the devil, basically, that she can live forever, but no one will remember her. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, fantasy, but it also goes through all this different times of history. But anybody who meets her, as soon as they turn their head, they don't remember her. Until one boy does. And that ends up having, you know, there's a kind of a romance thread in it too, which of course I love, but it was so well written and so interesting. And I loved the setting. And it was one of those books that could be open to a sequel, but wrapped up enough that I wasn't like, you know, damn you, where's the second one? So that was a really nice surprise last year. That was just, I would have never picked that up, you know, just offhandedly, but ended up being one of my favorites.
Love this. This book has been mentioned a few times in the podcast and it's on my TBR list, and I'm intimidated by it. And at the same time, like, oh, it could be, you mentioned there's no cliffhanger. I think that's like my intimidation. When I hear all these fantasy, I'm like, there's probably a cliffhanger and there's no second book yet.
No, you're safe. I promise. It was really good. And I felt satisfied enough at the ending, but you know, meaning if another one came out, of course I would read it, but I'd be happy and fine if, you know, that's all I got. So,
okay. That sounds good. So tell us where you can find you online.
My website is ronnielauren.com. So that's R-O-N-I-L-O-R-E-N. And I'm on all the different, you know, the Facebook and the Twitter and all of that, and Instagram. But the easiest way is if you want to sign up for my newsletter, you get a fun book journal for free. And I, you know, blog about TV shows and books I love and things like that. And so you get that through my newsletter.
I love this. Thank you, Ronnie, for being on the show.
Thanks so much for having me.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Once you connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatyourrenextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen V Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTOREAD10 to save. Visit whatyourrenextblog.com/queenbeereads. What Your Next Podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What You Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.